listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, August 10, 2022. Some South Sudanese journalists are calling on authorities in their country to free VOA's reporter detained at Juba's Central Prison,
which is a violation of the Transitional Constitution of South Sudan 2011, as amended Article 19, sub-Article 4, which provides that a person arrested by the police as part of an investigation may be held in detention for a period not exceeding 24 hours.
And a spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force says soldiers who participated in an on-camera extrajudicial execution of rebels in Unity State will be brought to book.
The SSPA will do whatever possible they can do, but not to apply the same extrajudicial killing did by the SSPDF with order from Unity State Governor.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan authorities are detaining a freelance journalist affiliated with the Voice of America for a fourth straight day. Ding Magot was arrested on Sunday while covering a peaceful protest by a handful of young men at Konyokonyo Market over soaring commodity prices. The Union of Journalists of South Sudan is calling for her unconditional release. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Journalist Ding Magot was arrested on Sunday after covering a peaceful protest by a handful of youth in the capital Juba, then taken to a police station where she was detained for 3 days before being transferred to the Juba Central Prison. Oyete Patrick, president of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan, says Magot has not committed a crime and should be released. He says Magot has been in police custody for over 24 hours and has not been produced in a court of law,
which is a violation of the Transitional Constitution of South Sudan 2011, as amended Article 19, sub-Article 4, which provides that a person arrested by the police as part of an investigation may be held in detention for a period not exceeding 24 hours. And if not released on bond, to be produced in court. The court has authority to either remand the accused in prison or to release him or her on bail.
Patrick says a team of lawyers representing Magot were denied access to their client yesterday, which violates the amended 2011 Transitional Constitution of South Sudan. Article 19 of the Constitution clearly states that any accused person has the right to defend himself or herself in person or through a lawyer of his or her own choice, says Patrick.
The police say Ding Magot did not have any identification document at the time of her arrest. And on Monday, a team from UJOS briefly interacted with Ding Magot, and indeed she confirmed that that is a fact. Ding Magot is a member of UJOS, and if the issue was identification or the issue is identification, we can confirm that she's a journalist and she's a member of UJOS. And now we are asking the authorities that if anyone has any complaint against Ding Magot, because maybe of the work she does, such an aggrieved party should launch a complaint to South Sudan Media Authority.
Major General Daniel Justin is the spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service.
I'm assuring you that there is nothing will happen to her. If she is innocent, she will be free. If she is not innocent, she will face the law.
Officials say Magot and six others arrested on a Sunday were transferred on Tuesday from Melekia Police Station to Juba Central Prison. Information Minister Michael McQuay told the South Sudan in Focus today he is aware of Magot's arrest and says the South Sudan Media Authority is following up on the case.
According to the information which I got in the newspapers, was that the journalist was saying that she was a journalist, but she did not have any ID card or anything to show that she is a journalist. This is why she was arrested, according to the police. So it is the duty of the media authority to investigate into that and find out how far is that true.
South Sudan Media Authority says it's not yet in a position to comment on the matter. In a statement released yesterday, the United States Embassy in Juba expressed concern over Magot's arrest and called on authorities to immediately release Magot, saying, quote, she has been detained since August 7th following her coverage of a peaceful protest in Juba, end of quote. Magot's arrest comes amid growing economic hardships across the country as the South Sudanese pound continues to depreciate against the dollar, pushing up prices of basic commodities. Last Thursday, $1 exchanged for 700 South Sudanese pounds. A month ago, a dollar exchanged for 450 South Sudanese pounds. This week, the pound has slightly gained some value against the dollar. A dollar exchanges for 550 South Sudanese pounds on the black market, but commodity prices remain high. Magot's case is the latest detention of a journalist in South Sudan. In February and again in June this year, several journalists who were covering a press conference at the premises of the National Legislative Assembly were detained for hours by security officials before being released. For VOA News, I'm Wak Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some South Sudanese journalists say Ding Magot's arrest indicates the leaders of their country have no respect for democracy and freedom of the press. The journalists say Magot's arrest has created fear, especially among female journalists. Some of the journalists who spoke to this program are calling on the media authority and other media outlets to intervene and secure Magot's release from the Juba Central Prison. For VOA News, Viola Elias has the story from Juba.
South Sudanese journalist and media trainer Garang Abraham tells South Sudan in Focus that Ding Magot's arrest is a clear indication that South Sudanese authorities do not respect democracy or freedom of the press.
They do not respect the code of conduct and media law. All these acts were put in place for South Sudan press space to be respected. Why arrest a journalist that is doing her own job of informing the community? I would personally appeal that media authority works hand in hand with the Union of Journalists in South Sudan to make sure that Ding is released as soon as possible because she has not done anything wrong.
Abraham says if authorities think Magot has committed a crime, they should charge her in a court of law. Del Malwal Dud, a freelance photographer with AFP News Agency, says it is sad Magot is still behind bars 4 days after her arrest. Dud says he does not understand how the government would deny Magot's right as a journalist to cover an event in the same way government officials want their news conference covered.
What they are saying is not right. They should correct it instead of arresting somebody who was there to cover the event. It is totally wrong to keep her in detention for this so long. So I demand her to be released as she was practicing her duties. It is really so disappointing. If our government is seen as the enemies of state, we're not the enemies of state.
South Sudanese journalist David Manyon says Magot's arrest and detention has affected morale of other reporters.
Now, any journalist would be fearing that he or she might get arrested, and you end up not really looking for information like the way we used to look for it. Because here we are working at the we're working actually to make sure that we really advocate for the voiceless. But in the line of duty, if our colleagues are arrested at the line of duty, then it doesn't actually make sense. It's making us to lose morale.
Manyon says Magot's arrest compromises a citizen's freedom of expression enshrined in the transitional constitution. He urges the media authority to immediately intervene to ensure that Magot is released. A South Sudanese female journalist who requested anonymity due to the sensitivity of the matter says her colleague's arrest makes her feel unprotected while doing her work.
The situation of South Sudan currently for female journalists, I just feel I'm no longer safe. Because if our colleagues can be arrested and no one is there to talk on her own behalf, or there's no any case being opened, and if our government is there quiet, then who am I like to be in the job, like to do the work? So currently I just feel I am no longer safe. because today it might be Ding, then tomorrow it might be me.
The reporter is urging South Sudanese officials to ensure that Magot is freed immediately. South Sudan in Focus reached out to Information Minister Michael Makwe for comment, but he referred us to South Sudan Media Authority, a regulatory body that oversees media activities in the country. The media authority has declined to comment on Magot's arrest. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The leadership of the rebel South Sudan People's Movement is condemning the killing of its four military officers, allegedly carried out by the South Sudan People's Defense Force in Unity State earlier this week. A member of the information committee with the rebels blames the Sudanese authorities for arresting his officers and handing them to South Sudan authorities before their execution. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Major General Jal Nger, a member of Information Committee in the South Sudan People's Movement, says SSPM condemns the executions of its four soldiers and is calling for an immediate investigation into the incident. Videos circulating on social media indicate three of the rebels were executed by firing squad while one was burnt alive. The videos left many South Sudanese citizens in shock. Speaking via a messaging application from an unknown location inside South Sudan, Nger describes the extrajudicial killing as a violation of human rights and says members were also shocked when they saw video footage of executions on social media. Nger says there is no doubt that SSPDF soldiers executed the men and that they received their marching orders from top military commanders in Juba.
The SSPA will do whatever possible they can do, but not to apply the same extrajudicial killing did by the SSPDF with order from Unity State Governor and South Sudan Presidential Advisor on National Security Affairs, Tude Galwa Mani, and other military generals from SSPDF General Equator Bilfam.
Video footage of the three men executed by firing squad shows men in military uniform firing their weapons. Another video shows a fourth man being burnt alive inside a grass hut. The South Sudan military has denied being involved in the executions and called for an immediate investigation. Speaking to reporters in Juba on Tuesday, South Sudan People's Defense Force spokesman Major General Lul Roy Kwang said even SSPDF military leaders were shocked by the footage. Kwang says a committee will be formed to investigate the incident and all those found to be involved will be punished.
All the things you had watched, it happened without approval or authorization from the leadership of the army. And all those who took part in all the processes that led to the execution by firing the squad and the alleged burning of another suspect are going to be brought to book.
General Nger blames Sudanese authorities in El Fula town of West Kordofan State for capturing the rebel soldiers and handing them over to the Unity State government.
We have evidence that shows Sudan government is responsible. We have photos of the Sudanese rapid support forces captured, and those photos are available on social media.
Repeated calls to West Kordofan State Governor Khalid Muhammad Ahmad for comment went unanswered. General Nger is calling on regional and international rights organizations to immediately investigate the incident and question both Sudanese and South Sudanese authorities about the killings.
I'm appealing to the international community on human rights, United Nations Security Council, African Union, IGAD, to question the government of both countries, Sudan and South Sudan, on the crime they admit.
The SSPMA was launched last month by former SSPDF General Stephen Boy, who admitted that his group attacked Moyom County headquarters and killed the county commissioner and 11 of his bodyguards. In an exclusive interview with South Sudan in Focus last month, General Boy said the attack was motivated by revenge after a pro-government militia attacked their position in a place called Bong. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a known group attack a bus on the Juba Nimule Road. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? will speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from a church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You were listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Three people were killed and another person wounded when an unidentified gunman ambushed a passenger bus traveling from Juba to Nimule town on the South Sudan-Uganda border. A police spokesperson says the gunman killed the driver, his assistant, and one passenger. For VOA News, Viola Elias has the story from Juba.
Speaking last night during a news conference at Ministry of Interior, National Service Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin confirmed three people were killed in the attack along the Juba-Nimule Highway yesterday.
It is actually very unfortunate. One of our buses, Bongo bus, was traveling from Juba to Nimule, fell into an ambush in that area, and as a result, the driver, we lost three people, the driver and the assistant driver and one of the passengers. Three people died in the incident, and then it was actually a very small bushy place. The attackers, they were just open fire on the vehicle and then they ran away.
Some media outlet in Juba reported more than seven people died in the attack, but Justin disputed those accounts, saying a police force dispatched to the scene confirmed a total of three people were killed. He says the police are searching for the attackers.
Our forces, because we have forces on the road, when they were informed, they came and they rescued the situation, but they found that, the dead were already, because they targeted the driver, then they ran away. Our people are now following their footsteps.
Justin says police have yet to identify a motive for the attack. He says the security situation along the Juba-Nimule Highway has returned to normal.
So this is the situation, but there the situation is normal now. Vehicles are moving between Juba and Nimule, especially the trucks which are carrying goods.
This is not the first time gunmen have attacked vehicles along the Juba-Nimule Highway. Several deadly attacks on passengers' vehicles and trucks have occurred along the highway since 2016. In 2021, at least two trucks drivers were killed by unidentified gunmen along the same road. Last year, authorities deployed more soldiers along the Juba-Nimule Highway to protect passengers and truck carrying goods into the country. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
South Sudan's holdout groups that did not sign the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement are rejecting the recent extension of the transitional period for another 2 years. The spokesperson of the National Salvation Front says the extension of the transitional period means prolonging the suffering of the people of South Sudan. For VOA News, Deng Gai Deng reports from Bor.
Last Thursday, the SPLM in government, led by President Salva Kiir and the other signatories of the revitalized peace deal, including SPLM IO leader Riek Machar, signed a so-called roadmap to extend the transitional government for another 2 years until 2025. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus by phone from Nairobi, Kenya, General Paul Malongawan, a member of the executive committee of the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance, an umbrella group of opposition organizations that refused to sign the peace agreement, says Kiir and Machar have failed to end the suffering of the people. Awan also says extending the transitional rule is illegal.
They are supposed to tell the public and tell the people of South Sudan what they have done in the past period and what is the remain to be done in ascension. There is no reason that has been mentioned. And if there is no reason that has been mentioned, therefore, the job ascension doesn't serve any peace, doesn't serve anything. It will make it even worse because agreements have never brought our people out of the UN. That agreement has never retrieved our people from neighboring countries. So ascension for what? To do what?
Gerald Malong, who leads the opposition South Sudan United Front, says the revitalized agreement has failed to reunite the South Sudanese people. He also says the government has failed to resettle internally displaced people and failed to repatriate South Sudanese refugees from neighboring countries.
The last message to the people of South Sudan, there is no good reason for extension. I mean, there is no good reason for ascension, it should not be accepted. And that ascension is very unacceptable. And our people have to reject it openly.
Under the 2018 peace agreement, the parties should conduct elections by December 2022, and the elected government should take over by February 2023. However, more than 70% of the deal has not been implemented. Suba Samuel, a spokesperson of the National Salvation Front, argues if the parties could not implement the peace deal in the last 4 years, they will not do it in the next 2 years. Adding the roadmap is simply a strategy to prolong the parties' stay in power.
There is no peace in Juba that needs to be implemented. The best Kiir could have done to the people of South Sudan is actually to resign and give the people of South Sudan opportunity to do whatever they want. For us as an us, we are calling on the people of South Sudan, all the political parties, the civil society group, faith-based groups, professional women and youth, to resist and reject this agreement, this illegal action, and come out with a way forward on how to address the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan.
Last month, the Hold Out Alliance issued a statement rejecting the extension of the transitional period and called for a roundtable conference to be held outside the country, with all stakeholders represented to decide the way forward after the end of the normal transitional period in February 2023. Suba is urging the people of South Sudan to speak up and reject the extension. He also appealed to the international community to view the new government as illegitimate with no recognized mandate from the people.
When you look at this agreement, it is actually a political elite agreement between Salva Kiir and Riek Machar and other political players in the country. So it is an agreement which is based on power sharing among these leaders, but it does not have any bearing with addressing the problem that is happening in the country.
South Sudan in Focus reached out several times by phone to Information Minister and government spokesperson Michael McQuay. Each time, he said, he was in a meeting. Last week in Juba, when President Kiir announced the roadmap, he called on the holdout groups led by Pagana Mom, Paul Malong, and Thomas Cirillo to return to Juba and join the process of political transition. Mom, who leads the opposition Real SPLM, Cirillo, who leads the National Salvation Front, and Malong, who leads the South Sudan United Front, are all in talks with the government to incorporate the holdout groups into the 2018 peace agreement. The talks are being mediated by the community of St. Egidio, based in Rome. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Vote counting has begun in Kenya following Tuesday's presidential and parliamentary elections. Four candidates are vying for the presidency, among them Raila Odinga and Deputy President William Ruto. VOA's Vincent Macori is in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, covering the vote. He spoke to Nabil Biajo about what is happening.
At the tallying center, I was there a few minutes ago. The process of counting and tallying the votes is ongoing. And at the moment, what has been happening is the chairman of the Electoral Commission, the IEBC, has been giving updates on the process and assuring the citizens that everything is going according to plan by law, and therefore people should just be patient. As we speak, of course, we can tell you confidently that there's no one among the front runners who has any outright lead. It is too close to call, as they say. And so Kenyans are waiting, literally on tenterhooks, waiting to see how this will go and when the Electoral Commission finally announces who wins the election.
Of course, like you mentioned, it's a tight race, but do we have any preliminary or provisional results to show us who is projected to win?
This keeps changing over every few hours, so there's not really anyone who's projected to win. Seriously, there hasn't been a possibility to project even by the media, so they're just waiting for whatever they get from the Electoral Commission. And what it shows is that they keep the number, the figures keep changing as the results come in. No one, the projection is that it's a very tight race. It's at the moment hard to tell that any of the two is going to be necessarily the one who wins. And so it's a game of wait and see.
And these are, of course, very high-stakes elections, and people are on pins and needles to find out about the results. What is the mood on the street? What are people saying?
You know, generally people are going about their businesses. But, of course, what people are saying is they are disappointed to a large degree because of the low turnout, which has probably for some feel that it's the reason why it's remaining tight, that perhaps if more people had come out to vote, especially in the strongholds of each of the candidates, we could have been seeing a lead, at least at the moment. But other than that, they're kind of, you know, a little somber, a little anxious, because, you know, when you can't, you have a sense of uncertainty, you don't know whether to celebrate or to cry. So they're in between. They're just in between those two, not knowing where things are going.
I see. And when do we expect the winner to be announced?
The Electoral Body Chairman, Wafula Chebukati, says he has, by law, 7 days to announce the elections. But he has promised that he, working very hard with his commissioners and all the electoral officials, they're determined to have this process concluded earlier than 7 days. And they didn't give an a specific day, but he says he would want to do it sooner than the 7 days that are provided by the law.
And what will you be looking out for in the next few days until the results are announced?
I think one of the other things that people are looking at are the other races. The races of governors, the races of members of parliament, the races of senators, because they'll also give a kind of a direction as to who or which side might carry the day when it comes to the majority in the parliament or senate. And those ones are definitely going to be announced at the local level. They don't have to be announced by the electoral body chairman at the national level. So we'll be looking at those probably by tomorrow. Things will start taking shape once we get to know how many members of parliament from each of the parties have won the tickets, and therefore it at least will create a picture of how the next parliament might look, how the next senate might look.
That's Vincent Macquarie, the managing editor of VOA's Africa 54 television program, speaking from Nairobi with my colleague Nabil Biagio this past hour. That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now take you to Nairobi with Musa Juma and his song New Sudan. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Joseph.